We have Josh Cullinan.
Cullinan, yes.
Cullinan in the studio. He's from, what is your position in this newly founded union?
I'm the secretary.
Yep. So he's the secretary from a new union that has just been formed, the Retail and Fast Workers Union. I guess we can sort of start off, you know, tell us sort of the background of how this union started and what your sort of plans are.
Sure. So thanks for having me on this morning. There's been a general disquiet now for the last decade. Many listeners will know about some of the efforts over the last 30 years to democratise the SDA. But over the last decade, there's been a growing disquiet amongst young workers mostly, but also other workers, about the way the SDA does its business. And that came to a head last year during the Coles case. So I was responsible in the first instance for working with a young worker in a western suburbs of Melbourne store, where we were able to identify that the majority of workers in his department at Coles were going to be worse off under the new Coles agreement. That was then exposed in the national media, and in the end, Coles made undertakings to improve their agreement, and they weren't small undertakings. It was 5% more to casuals and up to 10% more for 17-year-olds. So they were substantial undertakings worth many millions of dollars. But they didn't deal with the core issue of mostly ongoing part-time workers, the vast majority of Coles' workforce. So I was then a representative for Duncan Hart in Brisbane, and his case exposed that the SDA had done a very dodgy deal with Coles to undercut the rights of workers if they had been paid under the minimum by some 70 or 80, probably more, million dollars a year. And that was then the catalyst to expose all the other deals, which the SDA now freely admits is over 100 agreements that cut about a half a million workers' conditions from the very minimum they'd have if there was no agreement at all. So out of the back of that case, there was a lot of media and a lot of opportunity for a progressive union to do the right thing, own up to its mistakes, or its, I guess they're not mistakes if they're deliberate, but own up to what they'd done and fix it. Every day, retail and fast food workers lose another $1 million in these dodgy deals in Australia. Since that decision, there's been 178 days. That's $178 million ripped from the pay packets of some of the lowest paid workers in Australia. The SDA has done nothing for them. Unfortunately, the ACTU has also been silent, and the Labor Party has done nothing either. So it's come to a head where a group of activists of retail and fast food workers and their supporters have come together and decided enough is enough. It's time for a genuine trade union to step into this space, and that's why we've launched the Retail and Fast Food Workers Union.
Yeah. I guess, Nick, going to the next question is, what has kind of been the response from other unions to the Retail and Fast Workers Union?
So unfortunately, this space is fraught with danger for many other organisations because of the influence the SDA has in the ALP. There's a group of unions that are prepared to stand up and say that that the exploitation has got to stop, and have probably got a view that goes beyond the next year or two, or a view beyond the parliamentary careers of the current union leaders. Those great progressive unions are slowly getting in contact with us. Obviously, we are in contact with the Meat Workers Union. They were the ones most affected by the Coles and Woolworths behaviour of SDA, and we're very keen to continue to build a relationship with that union. And the other unions that face the damage that the SDA does to the working class in their shops, in their warehouses, and across Australia, we'll continue to be in contact with and hopefully build stronger relationships with.
I noticed that right from the outset on your website, you've been very clear in terms of demarcation, and you've said to workers who may come looking at your website to join up, here are the workplaces that we do cover, and if you're working in this area or this category, this is actually the appropriate union for you.
Yes, yeah, so we've wanted to be very clear from the start that we're not seeking a demarcation fight with anything that could be considered a trade union. And so the NUW, the ASU, United Voice, TWU, they all have respected coverage in various shops, or in, I guess in the sectors of retail and fast food, And we want to respect that and encourage members to participate in those unions, get involved, help make those unions great. The reality is that those workers who have no other choice other than the SDA, until now had no choice to join a trade union because, let's be frank, the SDA isn't a trade union. So we want to be clear with all of those workers. And if they do join us, we'll be encouraging them to resign and move on to those other unions because we won't be representing those that can be effectively represented by genuine trade unions.
Yeah. So within your union, is there there's a particular focus on the sort of workplaces that SCA previously covered? Like, isn't that list includes McDonald's, Woolworths and Coles? Is that correct?
They're the three largest employers in Australia, and they are the three most obvious and significant work sites that we need to get involved in.
Yeah. I guess my kind of question is sort of about the sort of politics of the union. The Sydney Morning Herald article mentioned that RAFFU has been started by, you know, socialists like ourselves or Greens and ALP members, but the union wants to remain politically independent. Why do you think that's important?
Well, I think there's a distinction between being political and being associated directly with a political party. Obviously, all of those engaged, especially in the early stages of RAFFU, are politically engaged. Every person is political as well as social. And I think that we are born out of an experience of SDA members, which has come about through the relationship between the SDA and the ALP. And we're acutely aware that in the foreseeable future, and we're talking many, many years, that a political party relationship is not something that our members are going to be interested in. We need to be able to influence politicians and influence employers through the expression of worker power. We're not interested in affiliating with any political party or getting engaged in those antics. Our pursuits are at the workplace level. No doubt our members over time will coalesce at a state and a national level, and they will want to develop policy and they will want to implement that policy. But the affiliation to a political party is not on our radar.
Yeah. I guess the kind of next question I have is sort of like, what are sort of like the plans in terms of like evolving kind of like the democratic structures of the union? What kind of democratic structures are you looking to implement with this sort of new kind of union in terms of rank and file membership involvement and so on?
Yeah, so there's a few different ways. The first is we haven't established a structure beyond the standard elected executive and committee from the entire membership across Australia. We haven't established a new structure that mobilises from shop stewards up at this stage. We've convened a subcommittee to look at that, to explore the way various other unions work and see the best way that will work for us. We have national employers. We're across the country. We need to be able to, implement the decisions of our members in the best way possible. And so we're interested in getting feedback from members, and we'll go through that process for the next 6 months to a year, and then we will establish a new structure. A special general meeting of our union will decide on what our new structure will be. We've already established that we want full proportional representation voting. The old structures of some of the old guard unions like the SDA still have anti-democratic rules. So we want to be clear that we will have the best possible democratic structure that we can. The other element to it really is the way that we resource it. We've been very clear from the start, and everyone who's involved on the committee and at the shop floor at the moment is very clear that we want to resource organising of and by our members. So as our members get engaged, as they organise their workplaces, as they organise the workplaces of their colleagues, and they get to a point where they can, through their own resources, through their own membership fees, establish organising effort, we will be appointing organisers into that space from amongst them. And we're hopeful that that will also be another way that we can build a democratic structure into our union.
Right. Zane, do you have a particular question you want to ask?
Yeah, I'm just a big fan of the BLF Green Bands, and I don't know if you've seen that documentary, Rocking the Foundations, about the Green Bands, and one of the stories at the start of it is about how basically the BLF used to be like the SDA or the AWU, one of these yellow unions that's controlled by the bosses, and there was a rank and file ticket. And they went to union meetings and they tried to vote up a rank and file ticket. and there was hired goons who would come along and beat them up on behalf of the union leadership. But that sort of raised the question of, you know, either democratizing the existing union versus doing what you're doing and setting up a parallel progressive union that has rank and file control and that actually advocates for workers instead of for the bosses. So I'm just interested in that decision to take path B rather than it sounds like there's been fairly extensive efforts to try and democratize the SDA, and like that sounds like it's a bit of a dead end.
Yeah, so there's a few elements to that. This debate has been going on for more than a decade. I was involved in getting together Coles and other workers 15 years ago before being banned from hosting meetings at Victorian Trades Hall and other places. We were trying to look at how that might work back then. One of the problems we face with the SDA is a set of anti-democratic rules. So they still have old communist rules, and they have rules now in Queensland where to be elected as secretary, you need to have be a current serving councillor. So you need to somehow get on the council before you can somehow be elected as secretary. In Victoria and other places, they have first past the post, winner takes all elections. So even if you have the support of 49% of the voting membership, you still don't even get one position. All 15 positions or whatever it is go to the winner takes all. They have massive slush funds established over many, many years that have hardly been tapped and are used in other unions' elections, unfortunately. They have $110 million of their own resources to fight anyone who wants to try and stand for election on the basis they don't meet their rules. There's a whole host of reasons that makes that a very long, long, drawn-out campaign in a highly transient membership that isn't allowed to nominate unless it has 2 years of financial membership. All of those things combined make it extremely difficult. And the problem, and we were debating this right up until July, August this year, the problem right now is the urgency. It's $1 million a day.
Mm.
We could throw ourselves against that brick wall for the next 5 years, 10 years, trying to slowly democratize, but it's $1 million a day. And, you know, let's not forget their conservative position on a whole range of issues, which have led, they have led to the marriage equality not being in place right now.
Mm.
It would have been without the SDA. So we've had to make it is a hard choice, but it's the right choice. We're already in the fight, and we will be returning wages, stolen wages, back to workers in the next few months as we start fighting these agreements that have been made. And it's not just SDA agreements. The bosses have taken that and run with it too. There are now workplaces that didn't even engage the SDA, just did the same deals, cut the same penalty rates and other rates. So, yes, it's a hard choice. It was a hard decision, but we've had to make one. Mm. And we're committed to fighting this fight for the next years ahead, because that's how long it'll take to build a strong union.
Yeah. One kind of important question, I kind of have, even though we're running out of time, but I think it's an important question to ask is, what is sort of the state of registration? Because you're a new union, do you have any, because I don't think you can quickly start off with official union registration with full government support or anything. What is kind of the status of that with the Retail and Fast Workers Union?
Yeah, so we established as an incorporated association in Victoria. The next stage for us was to register as an Australian registered body. I won't bore everyone, but under the Corporations Act, effectively, there's a process to be able to trade across Australia, and that's what we've done. So we're with ASIC. We're a registered Australian body. We haven't sought registration with the Fair Work Commission yet as a registered organisation of employees. Again, that would be a fight funded by the SDA to the tune of millions and millions of dollars that we just don't believe we need to have right now. And so whilst we don't have right of entry, we don't believe these workplaces are ever going to give RAFU any meaningful entry rights. And so we'll be still able to negotiate on behalf of our members, engage in industrial action for our members. We'll be taking industrial activity with, like any other union. We'll be representing our members in the commission. We'll be taking court action. We'll doing all of those things as well. But we're not going to engage in that in that process just yet. We'll continue getting wins on the board.
Yep, thanks for that. I guess last question, quick question, is what can workers, activists and unionists do to support your new union, the RFW?
Yeah, so there's a couple of great ways. The most obvious way for listeners to support is to encourage anyone they know who's working in retail and fast food to join. It's pretty easy. It's online, raffwu.org.au, raffwu.org.au. We've got an online process, so it's fairly straightforward. If you don't work in the sector, we are looking for supporters, both financial and volunteer. So we're kicking off blitzing tomorrow. So anyone with a set of skills, we've had lots of designers contact us to say that they can provide those skills. But if you've got a special set of skills, advocacy, if you can help in casework meetings, those sorts of things, we are looking for all of those skills, and we'll get back to you. You can sign up for that kind of activity as well at raffwu.org.au. Just click through to get involved. And the final way is direct donations, and that can be either done from our website. We've also got a Possible campaign that's been set up for the Taking Back Our Penalty Rates campaign. We were delighted. In the first day and a half, we had about $17,000 donated to that. We've got a $50,000 target, so we're still a little way away from achieving that, but we've got some time. So if you've got a spare bit of cash, feel free to go and check out possible.com/project/RAFU and check that out and pick yourself up a reward.
All right. Thank you very much, Josh. It was great having you in the studio.
Yeah, it's really exciting to see, and best of luck.
Thank you, and thanks for having me in.
It's great. Yeah, best of luck.